Well, hello, my friends. Excuse me, losing my voice. Hello, my friends. Welcome back to Coach's Corner. I am your host, Brian Craven. And it has been a little bit since our last episode, the Coaching Craven episode, where the immortal Slim Shady talked to me about the World Cup. And by the way, to all of the people of Argentina and fans around the world, you're welcome. Clearly, it was my endorsement of your team that carried you to that World Cup championship. I can't even say that with a straight face. I actually watched some of that game, and it's still soccer. I'm going to leave it at that. But congratulations. And also congratulations to Messi for a stellar career and going out on top like that. I'm sure that felt good. I am at work at the moment. We've had a little bit of an on-call situation. I volunteered to take the on-call shift. And so I apologize if the sound quality isn't quite as good. I'm recording this on my phone, as you might imagine. And it's just not as good as what I've got at home ordinarily. So I hope you'll bear with me on that. You may hear notifications. You may hear a radio go off. It is 4 o'clock in the morning. Usually, everyone's asleep at this point. I'm obviously usually working, and I found sleep rather difficult not being in my own bed. So, here I am recording a show, and we'll see how it goes. We'll crack on, see how it goes. In this episode, as of this recording, week 2 of the SFL it has not yet commenced. This will probably drop after most of week 2 has completed, so we won't really be talking about week 2. But we are going to touch on the SFL a little bit, mainly the my thoughts on the, as they stand right now, on the new game, new/old game that we will be transitioning to. I'll touch a little bit on the NFL playoffs. And that's probably going to be it for this episode. I will be getting together with Slim Shady sometime this upcoming week. Hopefully, he says he's got a new sport to coach me up on. So watch for that if you enjoyed the last one. I always think adding Shady to my show makes it 100 times better. So. But that's about it. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. That's about where we're gonna go, and let's crack on. Okay, first up, the NFL playoffs. As I've said before in some of my older episodes, my enthusiasm for the NFL has dropped quite a bit in the recent years. As you all know, I grew up, football was our life. Dad was a football coach, college football coach for 40 years. I myself was a high school coach for many, many years. And, you know, I was safe to say I like football. But it's just something about the NFL that was less. I think the thing for me, the NFL became very, I'm going to admit it. The rules favoring the offense, I get it. But I just don't enjoy it as much. I don't enjoy just this steady onslaught of offense that they've made it so easy for the offense now. I frankly, they talk about safety, and I know that's part of their thought, but frankly, I feel like it's catering to the uninformed fan. I'm just going to say it, and I know how that sounds. But having said that, it also, for a long time, people were kind of following everybody was following the blueprint, and everybody was, you know, pretty much you're seeing the same thing from the NFL, from every team in the NFL. Everybody had a prototype at each position that they wanted, and that's what you got. And I will say that one of the great things in recent years is you've seen some variety. One of the teams I enjoy the most is a team that I rooted for most of my life. I'm at the point now where I'm just watching and I don't really have favorite teams, but I really enjoy the things that the Niners do on offense. The creativity there, a little bit of an old school approach in some areas. That's very fun to watch. The Eagles are fun to watch for a slightly different reason, but it's good there. And so I found myself watching a little more of the NFL this year, a little bit last year than I have for quite a while. So going into the playoffs, it's nice to see, living in Sioux Falls now, like I do, I'm back in the cradle of Viking fandom. And I've always sort of pulled for the Vikings. It's been nice to see them have a good year. It ended with a thud. I think if you were looking closely, you probably knew that was going to happen. Their defense has not been what it has been in the past. And the Giants exposed them quite a bit. The Giants, fun to watch as well. Another team, actually, that I'm enjoying the creativity. Brian Daboll is a really good coach. My goodness. On the subject of that, I don't think the Bills are actually a contender without Brian Daboll. I think he did a lot of great things for Josh Allen. We saw what he's been able to do for Daniel Jones. I think some people were questioning whether Daniel Jones could even play, and he made it work. And I always like seeing that. I like seeing teams that do what they, you know, they figure out what they do well, and they do it. Whether or not they're actually a legit contender or not, it's still fun to watch. So we'll be seeing how that goes. I do think that probably ends this week. I don't think the Giants have it to beat the Eagles. Who knows? As I said, by the time this drops, a lot of that stuff's going to be figured. So I will say that I'm going to leave that be. That's for another time, a little bit longer. I need to marshal my thoughts on a little bit more. I was just going to talk about how the NFL, it's not fair of me to completely leave you hanging. I was going to talk about how the NFL addresses controversy. We've seen a couple of things this season. Their response to, I'm sure everybody remembers, the roughing the passer penalty with the Bucks and with Tampa Bay and the Chiefs, and then the NFL's response afterwards was just kind of, you've got to recognize your customers, and I feel like sometimes they kind of take the approach that go watch something else if you don't like it. There's 20 more behind you. And I just, that I don't appreciate that at all. But we'll dive into that deeper. I've got a lot of thoughts. I've taken down some notes and some of that stuff. And I want to kind of module that before I talk about it. And that'll be a different episode. Moving forward. If I were to pick a favorite, I think the Super Bowl. Boy. We have this several years. I think the AFC and NFC championship games determine the winner. That could be the case. I do think it's going to be the Eagles and the Niners and the Chiefs. And I'm calling the Bengals to get there. I think the Bengals have been playing. They've got some injuries, but man, they've been playing good the last few weeks. There's a belief in themselves there that not everyone has. I think the Bills have showed some vulnerabilities, let's put it that way. I think the Final Four is going to be those two teams. Anything can happen there. And here's the thing. Of those Final Four, I actually do think any of them could win the Super Bowl. One thing about the Niners I don't feel like they've actually played anyone in their win streak. They haven't beaten anyone that's good, really good. Somewhere back home in Oregon, all my friends who are Seattle fans are screeching, people, you weren't good, okay? You got in, but you weren't good. So I worry, because in case we all forget, the last time the Niners played a good team, they played the Chiefs, and it was ugly. Now, granted, they had just gotten Christian McCaffrey. I think that the Niners are better with Purdy than with Jimmy Garoppolo. I think Purdy can do things Garoppolo can't, which none of us saw that coming, of course. And he wasn't available when they played the Chiefs. So it's a different game, and I'm sure they feel that way as well. Confidence makes a big difference. But I still feel like probably the championship is decided with that Kansas City Cincinnati game, but I wouldn't bet a whole lot on that. So anyway, that's my bit about the NFL. It'll be interesting. It'll be fun to watch. There's something cathartic about being back in South Dakota with my feet up watching football with snow coming down outside. Feels like the only thing missing is Dad snoozing in his favorite chair over there, and Mom puttering around doing her thing. That's pretty nostalgic. It's pretty fun. And I'm enjoying that quite a bit. And with that, let's move on to our next segment. Okay. Next up, the SFL. And unless you've been completely living under a rock, or you're someone's alternate account and don't actually exist, or you just don't care that much, you may have noticed that we are going to be doing a different game. Different-ish game. It's still 2K. The NFL. What is wrong with me? The SFL is moving to 2K4. There's now, for the two or three of you that I previously mentioned that are not aware, it's a mod. It looks pretty good. And so here's my thing. I don't care at all about the updated graphics or the 4K graphics. I don't care at all about being able to put, you know, custom stuff and banners, and that I really do not care. That's not to say I don't think it's cool, because it is cool. I I'm sure I will enjoy it. But if the gameplay sucks, I don't care. Gameplay looks pretty good. It looks like it might be a little bit different. We all know let's just not pretend. APF has its issues. We all know what they are. This is the same company, but from what I've seen, some of the things are mitigated. I hope that's true. I hope it bears out. And let's face it, we're going to find something else to complain about, because it's a video game, and these people can't really build a real football sim. You know, it is what it is. We have to be okay, and I have to swallow that line every freaking week, even when we win in the SFL, because there's always something that I'm like, I try not to swear on my show, so I'm not gonna do that. I think all of us are hoping to see better clock management. That's a big one. I think all of us are hoping to see, you know, fewer of the silly glitches, like, oh, I don't know, subs coming in too early and staying in there. Yeah, cowards. Anyway, well, so we're all hoping to see improvements on that. You know what I think? You know the thing I think I'm most looking forward to? It looks like that silly, stupid, cartoonish spin move thing isn't as much of a factor in 2K4. I hate that thing so much. As much as I've had yammering ninnies talking to me about realism, quote-unquote realism, that is not realistic. And before you come at me with Barry Sanders, I challenge you to find a clip of Barry Sanders spinning three times in the space of about a yard. You know what? You won't, because I've looked. So if Barry Sanders wasn't doing it, it ain't realistic. So I'm really looking forward to that not being a thing. I'm looking forward to hopefully that stupid defensive shift that clearly seemed designed to allow the offense to move the ball. Hopefully it won't be doing that as much. I would love. And some of the rumors I'm hearing about how playbooks are going to be constructed and all of that stuff, that's kind of exciting. I hope it works out. I know not everyone is excited. I know some people are very excited. I think I'm taking a wait and see. And yes, I'm hoping it goes well. I may sound cynical. I don't mean to be. I just try to manage my expectations and not get too high or too low about this stuff. Nonetheless, it's a move we're making. I get it. I see why. Have no complaints with that. And I hope the implementation goes well. Because it would be a shame if, you know, we found ourselves in a situation where we're like, yeah, we can't do this after all. And we're all kind of stuck. So, looking forward to it. I guess we're going to be getting some kind of a drip of information as the season progresses, as they continue to work on things. And I'm sure I'll have more thoughts on that. But for now, that's all I've got on the game change. So as we're wrapping this up, I want to talk about something that I've been thinking about since it happened. I want to talk about our fallen friend, Leonard Butler Sr. Been thinking about him a lot. Truth be told, I think about Leonard every week. Almost daily. We all know, all of us that knew and loved Leonard know why we miss him. He just was a good man. He was a family man. The last thing he posted in our locker room was about being with his family and how good life was. I'm feeling a little more emotional about this than I thought I would be. He was funny. He was gentle, and yet at the same time you knew this was a man not to be trifled with, that he was capable. One of the things I loved about being able to talk to Leonard was, it's the first time in my life that I've felt like I was talking to a man like my father, who was a peer, if that makes sense. Like one of my best friends from back in Oregon, his father reminds me very much of my father. And I told him that, and it was, so this guy was always, I mean, in high school, when I'd be at his house with my friend, and there'd be his dad. So he always felt like he was an elder, he was someone to look up to and all that. So it was not that dissimilar from talking to my own father. But Leonard felt like a peer who was a man like my father. And if you know me well at all, you know that for me to compare someone to my father is one of the highest compliments I can give. And I think one of the really hard things, and my gosh, by now I should have learned this lesson. As a lot of you know, when I joined the league, one of my older brothers had passed away just a few weeks before, just a couple of weeks before. And this was the older brother that I was most like. I came along late in the family. My nearest sibling's 14 years older than me. This particular brother was quite a bit older than that. And we had had some hard things between us. We had had we weren't okay at times. Fortunately, we had repaired that and we were okay. But I had been thinking, I need to spend more time with my brother. He's not getting any younger. And I'm going to miss him when he's gone. And I had thought that several times, and yet I didn't make a point of doing it. And then he was gone, and I didn't have that chance. And that's, you know, that's painful. And then less than a month later, my oldest brother, who I had actually spent some time with, he was the sort I could go several months without seeing him, and then we'd just pick right up where we left off, and everything was good. But nonetheless, suddenly he was gone. And, you know, you would think I'd learned my lesson at that point, but I did not, because I would get off. We would have VC. I'm rambling a little bit. Forgive me. The team would sometimes get into VC together and watch our games. Especially if it was an announcer we didn't particularly care to listen to, we would do that. And that's a surprise for people. So we get into VC and we'd watch the game together. And whenever Leonard could, he'd be in there. And I thought more than once, I was like, man, I'd really like to just get on a phone call and chat with Leonard. I like this guy. And I didn't do it. I regret not reaching out and taking a chance to get to know Matt Wilson, for example. Missed opportunity. I think about those things a lot. There are people in our lives that are not good people. It's understandable that we cut those people out. It's understandable that we limit our contact with those people. But I think all of us can think of people that we know that they're good for us. We know that there's a friendship there. We know that there's a chance to maybe forge a bond. In this day and age, I feel like that's something we're not doing very well. And I miss Leonard. I miss his jokes and I miss his comments. He was as constant as the Northern Star. You knew Leonard was going to have something to say. And it was always good. In thinking about Leonard, I've been thinking that, we've done this in the league. We did this in the league before I was part of Louisiana. Ross and Johnny Pickler did a thing. They had a charity initiative kind of thing, and I've been feeling compelled to think about that a little bit, and so. I will announce later what the charity is, but for every tackle for loss and sack that my player gets this year, I'm going to donate $5 to a charity that I will announce later. I've got a handful in mind. They're all military related charities. And I'm going to do that This is going to be something I'm going to do every year, but I'm announcing it now that it's going to be a regular thing, and it's going to be in honor of Lenny Butler Sr. It's the only thing I've got to honor the man that, unfortunately, I didn't get to know as well as I wanted. And so, with that, I encourage all of you to maybe reach out to a brother or sister or friend or what have you that, you know, they cross your mind and you think, oh, I should reach out to them. I should see how they're doing. And then you don't do it because, hey, I get it. Life is busy. I want to encourage you to remember that life is also fragile. And we never know. And on that note, we're going to wrap this show up. Good luck and God bless, my friends.